chapter 3. First John chapter 3, starting in the first verse, John writes and says, "Behold, one hammer of love, the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." That is our text for this morning, which the Lord has impressed on my heart. Last week, in preaching, I tried to emphasize some things about how wondrous salvation. Try to talk about what it is to be saved. I love that Bible word, saved. It's a word that has a lot of meanings. It means to deliver, to rescue from danger. It means to keep safe or to safeguard. And in all of those things, that applies to us as Christians. But you know, I'm afraid today that many that use the word saved or even Christian don't act very Christian-like at all. I believe that when someone is truly saved and a Christian, I believe it makes a difference in your life and in your heart. I believe that's one thing God is trying to emphasize to these early Christians. I believe he wants them to know and to understand that knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior is the beginning of a wondrous life. But also, I want to look this morning at this phone today. Not only do we have a wondrous salvation, but I want us to think about our wondrous position. Our wondrous position. As I was studying, preparing for this morning, my mind in pondering about our position, my mind recalled how that on occasions I have read in the news about somebody that had died. They lived their life like they didn't have anything. They lived like a poor individual in life. But when they died, as they went into their home, on occasion, they found money stuffed under a mattress, money hidden in lots of places. And that individual that lived so poorly actually was wealthy. I'm afraid that a lot of Christians are living their lives like a pauper, when in reality they're wealthy beyond measure. We are rich by the grace of God in Christ today. I want to try to share with you three things that John points out to them about our wondrous position. First of all, John talks about our dignity. Verse 1, John said, "Behold," stop there just a moment. That word, "behold," it means to see, to notice, consider, look with wonder and astonishment. Observe that this that I'm saying. God is saying, I want you to stop where you are. Ponder what I'm about to say. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." John is talking about what a wondrous blessing we have through grace. John said, stop just a moment. Ponder. Think about it. Realize that the position that you have in God realize that first of all that we have the Father's love and care. They said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Those two words, what manner, actually they say, repeat this, what foreign kind of love. It is a love that is otherworldly. It is a world our love is indescribable. It is an act on the quality of love. He said, just stop a minute. Realize that amazing love that the Father has toward you. He said that we should be called the sons of God. That we're called the sons of God. John even went home. He said, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. You realize today that we don't look like us to this whole world. The world looks at Christians as though we are the problem in society. They look at us like those poor, deceived Christian folk. They see us as worthless in society. John said the world don't know us. The world don't understand us. Just like they didn't understand Jesus. But it said they don't realize who they're talking about. They don't realize just who we are. They don't look like such to them. But the God of heaven, the Father of glory, says, you're my child. You're my son, and you're my daughter. Thank God today, I'm a child of the King. I don't have anything about me that brings notoriety or fame as far as this world goes. But thank God I'm a child of the King. I am his child today. Make sure have that happen. The Father of Jesus Christ, Father of glory, said that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, I rejoice that God will love me so much I could be one of his children. You say, preacher, I know I've read John 3:16. I know it says that God so loved the world. I know that. But I want to give you something that ought to just blow your mind. In John chapter 17, Jesus says, praying the high priestly prayer, talking to the Father. And evidently, John heard him praying. Because John wrote that letter, that book, and this one also. So I believe John heard him praying. Well, what did Jesus say? John 17, verse 22, Jesus says to the Father, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one." But listen to this. "That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." You know what Jesus said? Did I just explain it? Jesus said, "Father, I want them to understand that just like you love me, so if you love them." Richard, what are you saying? Blows my mind that Jesus said, "Father, you love them just like you love me." What blows my mind? I cannot comprehend God loving me like He loved Jesus. I don't believe John could get over that. I don't believe John could take that all in. So now he says, "Behold, what manner of love Father has loved us, that we would be called the sons of God." John is saying, that all amazed you, that God would love you in such a way. I'm amazed that God would care about someone like me before God ever saved me. He knew all about me. God knew me before I was ever born. God understood about my life. That He saw every place that I would fail. God saw all of my shortcomings and all of my difficulties in life. And God said, "You know what? I love Him. I love Him. I love Him so much that I want Him to be one of my children." Thank God for such an amazing love in Christ. And I'm glad that we have His care. But I want to tell you, I have His commitment. Preacher, what do you mean by that? I believe He's going to take care of me all the way home. I believe He's going to make sure all my needs are met. I believe He's going to make sure I've got all the grace I need. I believe He's going to give me strength when I'm weak. I believe He's going to give me guidance when I'm confused. I believe He is committed to my care. That's how much He loves me. Thank God He's never going to leave and don't forsake me. Thank God He's going to be there with me. What amazing love our Father has toward us. Do you realize today that when we hurt, He hurts? When we are burdened, it burdens our Savior's heart. Thank God I don't have to approach Him as a judge. And although He is judge, I don't have to approach Him as King, although He's King. I don't have to talk to Him as ruler, even though He's ruler. I'm talking to Him as Father, because He's my Father. And I'm His child. Thank God He's going to take care of us. We spend a lot of time worrying what the future's going to be, how things are, and what's going to happen. Adrian Rogers made the statement one time. He said, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a father that has a fresh loaf of bread? Or would you rather have a father that owns the bakery? Oh, today our Father owns it all. I don't worry about a little bit of bread. Thank God! Our Father owns the bakery. So John said, won't you realize your spiritual dignity? You're somebody. You're somebody. You're a child of God today. You're somebody. You don't have to walk around your head all bent down saying, well, I'm just nothing. I'm just nothing. This world's held on us. This world's hard on us. Thank God you hold your hand and say, I'm a child of the King. I'm one of His. Saved by the grace of God. Our spiritual dignity. But then John talks about our destiny. Verse 2. Beloved, thou are we the sons of God. That isn't going to be, it's thou. John said, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. He is saying here, there are some things that we don't know. He said it does not yet appear what we shall be. Kind of like what Adam read in 1 Corinthians 13. Now we see through a glass darkly. There are things that now we don't see clearly. God said there's some things right now we don't know. Well, there's a lot of things in his life. I don't know. I don't have answers. I don't know. But John says here there are two things we do know. Preacher, what are they? We know that Jesus is going to appear. John said that. But we know that when he shall appear. John did not say if he shall appear. But John said we know that when he shall appear. Thank God he's going to appear one day. Thank God he's going to come again. He came the first time. He was born in Bethlehem's barn. He grew up, preached, taught, healed the sick, raised the dead, was crucified, buried, he rose again, ascended back to heaven. While they were on the mount, and the cloud received him out of sight, the disciples were watching. Then the angels said, "This same Jesus that you've seen grown up will come again. Will come again." Thank God there's coming a day that he shall appear. Preacher, when's it coming? I don't know. I'll be honest, I wish he isn't coming today. There's so much heartache, so much sickness. I would tell you, if he would come today, that would take care of Holly's cancer, take care of Kevin's cancer, take care of Dan's heart, they'll take care of every problem in life. Jesus would just come on today. Just come on today. John said, we know he's going to come. He's going to appear. That means he's going to be manifest. But notice what else. John said, we know that he shall appear. And John said, we know we're going to see him just as he is. He said in verse 2, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John said, there's going to be a day we're going to see him God as he was. We're going to see him as he is. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. I think about all John saw and heard. I think about him hearing Jesus pray there, that priestly prayer. Think about him on the Isle of Patmos, seeing the glorified Christ. Then I think about all he saw down heaven. And John said, one day we're going to all see him as he is. We're going to see him in all of his glory. We're going to see him, and we're going to be like him. Preacher, what does that mean? The glorified body. Why glorified body? Because these eyes can't behold him, they couldn't stand it. This man couldn't take it in. So he's going to give us a glorified body. Like he is, that we can see him as he is. I get excited every now and then. Think of how my loved ones that are already there. I think of how I wonder what all they're doing. I wonder what all's taking place around the throne of God. Do you know what excites me more than anything? It's not the fact they're seeing the walls of jasper. It isn't they're seeing gates of pearl or a screen of gold. What excites me is they're seeing him as he is. My loved ones are there already seeing him as he is. That's going to make heaven heaven. That's what makes eternity so real. That one day we're going to see him as he is. Thank God there's coming a day that we'll lay aside this robe of flesh and rise to seize the everlasting prize. Shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweetheart, prayer. Thank God, what a day! What a day that's going to be. I can't take all that in. Thank God, glad God. Spiritual dignity. Thank God, I've got a spiritual destiny. And then lastly, verse 3, he says we have a spiritual beauty. He says that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John said, knowing who we are, and knowing one day he's going to appear, that ought to motivate us to look for his coming. And that ought to stir our hearts with anticipation. John said, every man that hath this hope in him. That word hope, it speaks of anticipation and certainty all mixed together. Hope isn't the ideal, well, I just hope it works out. I just hope it all falls in place. Christian hope means that we have assurance. It is an absolute certainty that creates anticipation. There are some certainties that don't create anticipation. I heard my dad tell years ago when he was pastoring Poplar and I was just a little old tot. Daddy said there's a Sunday morning he's a preacher. Then he had to glance over and I had got outside of the pew. And I was standing there, one of my sisters had me by the arm, trying to pull me in. Daddy said, I had to look the other way. He said, when I looked back again, said, you was on the outside of the pew, had one foot on one end and one foot on the other. and the little sister behind you and tried to push in. We got the car on the way to the house. Daddy said, "Oh boy, you get home. You're getting a whipping." That was certainty without anticipation. That was going to happen, but I sure wasn't anticipating it. But John is telling us here, there is something about our hope that reigns sure in our hearts and causes a longing for that day to come. Longing to see Him. But we ought to be living for His coming. John said, if man has this hope in Him, purify himself, even as He is pure. I said, Father, this kind of went hand in hand with one hand of sin. There ought to be a desire in our heart to live right and to live ready. Because He's coming again. John said, sometimes we also realize our position. Just how wondrous it is that we're a child of God. We're one of His children. Saved by the grace of God. We have got an amazing, amazing hope. One day we're going to see Him as He is. I just can't get over that. I've seen Him without faith. I've never seen Him as He is. One day, this old boy's going to stand in the very presence of the God of heaven. And I'm going to get to see Jesus as He is. What a day. Having that hope ought to cause us to long for it. To look for it. To live ready for it. Because He's coming. He's coming in here. The old hymn writer said, when He comes, our glorious King, all His ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Oh, just to be able to bow His feet and say, thank You for loving someone like me. Do you know Him today? Do you have that wondrous salvation we talked about last week? Do you realize you have that wondrous position in Him today? You say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know. But you can know. You can know that you know that you're saved. If you'll just give your heart and life to Him. Brother David's going to get us a song. He'll come to the instruments. You'll sing a little bit of an invitation. There may be somebody today that you say, preacher, all of that sounds so wonderful. I just don't know that I've got all that. But you know it today. You'll come down in the altar of prayer. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. He'll save you. Then too, you can say, I'm a child of God. He's my Father. And I'm His child. While we stand, while we sing, there's a need. Would you come?